It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Hello, and welcome to the Keep Sounding Podcast. This is Brian, joined by John, as always, on your The Panthers Shook Up a Lot of Shit Today edition. John, how you doing?
I'm just trying to stay on top of everything, trying to figure out what's going on.
It's pretty clear what's going on, but before we get into that, let's just briefly get into the 49ers game. As we predicted during our podcast, that was not a fun game to watch. I don't think anybody's going to dispute that. I know you didn't even get to really watch it, you said.
I was watching Charlotte FC last game of the inaugural season. Didn't want to miss it. And I was like, I'll watch that. And it was, the game was at 2:30. They started later than normal, but I thought, you know, I'll watch that and then I'll get to the Panthers game like first quarter ish and then we'll watch it. But I also had to play softball because that's what I do on Sundays. And so I left a little, I basically watched the like second quarter before I had to be at softball. And then I saw the score and I was like, ah, I really don't want to go back and watch the rest of this game, which I would have. I would, for you guys, for the people, so I could talk about it in an informed manner. But all the stuff that happened on Monday, I was like, well, that's just going to be the dominant thing to talk. Like, no one cares what happened in the 49ers game anymore.
No, I mean,
so I'm not gonna do that to myself.
For those of you who didn't watch the game, the Panthers lost 37-15. Baker Mayfield did have 215 yards passing. You know, the rest of the game was just shit. So, yeah, the Panthers didn't lose by 40-something points, so at least that was some progress since 2019. But other than that, yeah, I don't really even want to talk about the game. I mean, it's the same story. The offense is just disjointed. I will say, props to the offensive line. Ika Mukwonu had the highest rated PFF grade by an offensive lineman of all season on Sunday.
Wow.
Which is pretty good considering, you know, the Niners are really fucking good. So, at least on defense. But, yeah, it was more of the same. Baker played. He didn't play well. Then eventually P.J. Walker came in. So, P.J. Walker's probably going to start next week. But, going to be interesting to see that because his boy Matt Rhule is no longer the head coach of the Carolina Panthers.
Yep. Which I know a lot of people are super excited about, which I guess I'll get on a high horse right away. So I think it was last time we talked and I was like, I think it's dumb how people get so passionate about wanting a coach fired midseason.
No, it wasn't just you.
Yeah. And that's not to say that like he deserves, like that I thought he was doing a good job and like that the Panthers should move on later in the season. It's just that people, I think, forget that firing the coach midseason accomplishes nothing. And what we get now is my next favorite part about the whole thing is when people are like dancing in the streets celebrating a man losing his job.
Yeah.
Which I think is always very tacky. Like, yeah, didn't work out, wasn't a great coach, but like, dude got fired from presumably his dream job and was a failure at it, and we're all just like dancing on his grave. I don't like it.
I don't really
care. People
are
going to be like, and then it's like, well, he's rich. It's like, yeah, but rich people still have feelings. So, I don't know. I don't like, I just don't like how it looks when people are that joyful and outwardly joyous over the, like, you know, like I said, a dude like basically failing and losing his, presumably his dream job, because that sucks for anybody, no matter how rich you are.
He's got 70 million reasons why to
see, you know. Don't do that. That's so annoying.
I actually feel worse for Phil Snow, because Phil Snow actually has done a good job since he got here.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, if you didn't know, Phil Snow also got fired because he was a rule guy.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't want to say it's because he's a rule guy as much as, you know, we have a new head coach, and the new head coach is going to make sure the people that are on his staff align with his visions for the team, and Phil Snow and Steve Wilks do not align, apparently.
Now, I mean, there were rumors that they had some kind of disagreement about how the defense should be run. I don't know how valid those are. I've never heard them come from reputable sources yet, but still, I mean, it makes sense for Steve Wilks to just move on and be like, I'm going to take over the offense or the defense, and Ben McAdoo will just handle the offense. So we'll see where it goes. But yeah, I mean, like you said, like Walker said, literally hours before the announcement that Matt Rhule was fired happened, it doesn't always make a whole lot of sense to move on from your head coach this early in the season, because you're basically punting in the season. It's just over. I think that Tepper's reasoning is just that he thinks that maybe they can turn it around and be competitive, but I don't really know. I mean, Baker Mayfield was bad behind a really good offensive line. I mean, Sam Darnold's coming back from an injury at some point. I'm pretty much all but 100% betting on the fact that Darnold will take some snaps. It's also possible that Baker doesn't take another snap as the starting quarterback again, barring injury. So, yeah, I mean, for all the happiness that Rhule's gone and that the team is moving on from him, like, this is going to be a rough season.
Which, yeah, I mean, as soon as it was apparent that Baker Mayfield is just not good, that was always going to be the case, regardless who the coach is. I don't really know if there's anything that can be done. Like, I don't think Steve Wilks is changing enough to make this team any better.
I mean, how much can he really do? I mean, he's got the same He's got the same roster, but it's not like he's adding players, like signing free agents, drafting players. Like, you know, he's just got what's left over from Rhule's regime without Rhule's guys running the squad. So
plus everything's established already. That's like, this is how we do things. And you got to, like, if you want to change the culture or change the approach of things, like, you're basically back to day one of training camp type stuff to an extent. So nothing's going to change overnight.
No. And I think part of that, there were a lot of people who were like, well, why wasn't Ben McAdoo fired? Well, fuck, like, Steve Wilks is a defensive coordinator, defensive backs coach, you know, like, he's not going to run the offense. Al Holcomb, his new defensive coordinator, he's not going to run the offense. Like, you need somebody to run the offense.
Right, yeah.
Like,
so, I mean, like, somebody's got to stay there. We can't fire everybody, like,
at least not
now.
Do
a whole mid-season coaching search.
My hope is that Steve Wilks somehow retains a job on this defense, even though I know, like, a lot of people want just a fire sale, get rid of everybody. But Wilks is a good coach. I think he kind of got pushed into the head coaching job a little too early just because of his one season of success as Carolina's defensive coordinator. I kind of hope they find a way to retain him, even if he is the defensive coordinator. But yeah, I mean, McAdoo's probably gone. Not sure about Fitterer. I feel like fans want Fitterer gone. I haven't really had a huge issue with Fitterer as a GM, but if you're really going to start new, yeah, I guess you just got to fucking fire everybody.
Like, no, don't. Like, Scott Fitterer's only had Matt Rhule as a coach. So if Matt Rhule's the failure, you got to let Scott Fitterer prove that he, like, exists independent of Matt Rhule, right? Like, Matt Rhule was here before Scott Fitterer got here. Marty Herney and David Tepper hired Matt Rhule. So you got to let Scott Fitterer hire his guy to give Scott Fitterer a fair shake. Especially because, like, I know he's partly at blame for the quarterback situation and stuff, but like that's also very hand in hand with the head coach. Like you gotta, I think you gotta give him like a real shot at hiring a coach that aligns with his philosophies and see if it works. Because I think his mindset's right, and I think that's more important than the end results. As dumb as that might sound, like the way sports team building works is like significantly luck based. So as long as you're doing the right things, you're kind of at the mercy of just like some good bounces and some good luck for things to go to like separate you from being really good at your job or being bad at your job. So like I think his processes are good. So I think he deserves to at least like help hire a head coach, and then that's the like, you know, that's who he's linked to, and that's what determines whether he keeps a job long term or not, right? Like, if we hire a new coach and the team doesn't get better, then you oust the two of them as a package deal and bring in a new package. But I don't think it's fair to you know, pin him to Matt Rhule when he wasn't even the one that brought Matt Rhule here.
Yeah, if it was the inverse where it was, you know, Scott Fitterer got fired today, I'd be 100% on board with being like, all right, we'll get rid of Rhule at the end of the season. Where
right,
Fitterer was not involved with hiring Matt Rhule. He was just brought in to supplement Matt Rhule.
Right. It's like when we fired Marty Herney and we kept Ron Rivera, the first, like, it's like that, or no, the other way around. But yeah.
No, that's what happened. They fired Herney the first time around and kept Rivera, and then the second they fired Rivera and kept Herney.
Kept Herney. So, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that part never made any sense. Like
keeping Herney around kind of made sense because he had familiarity with the organization, and obviously David Tepper had just come on as the owner, so that did make sense. Like I really like the fact that Scott Fitterer at any point can just make a trade, and like Herney never did that. Like even Gettleman really never did that. Like there was never a time where I was sitting there thinking, oh, Carolina's going to be in on this trade, where with Fitterer, he absolutely is. So I would like to see him get a chance to pick a head coach, especially I think that the whole failing with Matt Rhule was the fact that David Tepper was so involved with the hiring process. And granted, you know, he owns the team. He has a lot of money invested in this, but I kind of hope that maybe this time around they'll just let the people who are paid to scout talent and scout coaches like make the decision and just get him to sign off on it rather than being so involved with the hiring process. But that probably won't happen just because David Tepper is, you know, hands-on guy, hedge fund manager, probably thinks he's the smartest guy in the world. So, you know, it's shitty. Yeah. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, like, when David Tepper took over, fans of their team want the owner to not be involved, but they also want the owner to be involved and to care. It really, no one knows what they want the owner to do. So, but yeah, I think
there's a fine line between Jerry Jones and Robert Kraft.
Yeah, right. So it's just one of those things where, and this happens in football for everything, but like, everybody just wants whatever decision is made, or like whatever style of leader, like whatever style of owner or coach, manager, whatever, everyone just wants them to be the other kind. It's always better. Like grass is always greener situation, but
of course that's football for you, especially if you're a Panthers fan.
Yeah. Which I mean, it can't get like less green than it is right now on this side. So.
Oh, I am excited to see Sam Darnold get a chance to play behind this offensive line, just because it'll be fun, whether it's bad fun or good fun.
Yeah, I mean, this is the fairest shake he's going to get, right?
Yeah.
Which I guess now we'll pivot on that because we've kind of alluded to it, but we haven't really talked about it straight up. Baker Mayfield, all of this is like happening. Like Matt Rhule's fired, Phil Snow is fired, all this stuff is happening. Like coaching staff and stuff, and also Baker Mayfield's out for a few weeks, all announced on the same day.
Yep,
it's a high.
It's the PJ rate. The PJ Walker show next week.
It's a high angle spray for Baker Mayfield, right?
Yeah.
So
yep, he's going to be out for, they said, a couple weeks, but generally high ankle sprains are like 4 weeks. So
Yeah, so it's kind of a race, right, between Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield of who gets back first, right?
Pretty much. I mean, granted, Walker, you know, knows the offense, so he might look okay next week, and I don't know.
I mean, I think we know what P.J. Walker is. P.J. Walker is gonna chuck the ball around the park, and he's gonna throw a lot of incomplete passes and try to throw like 4 to 5 interceptions a game. But it's gonna be electric. He's gonna be an electric factory.
He usually only tries to throw 2. Generally, 2 is the number for him. But speaking of personnel, so now, obviously, the talk on all of Twitter is who are the Panthers going to trade away, because they're apparently in fire sale mode. I don't see that. Tepper made this move specifically to try and, like, right the ship and be somewhat competitive, which I don't know how much of I agree with that, but that's what it looks like to me. But everyone's been hitting me up saying, okay, so what team's going to trade for DJ Moore and what team's going to trade for Christian McCaffrey? And, yeah, I hate the idea of both of those things happening.
I guess if you're the Panthers, it depends on how quickly you think you can bounce back from this all, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you think it's going to be, we need to tear it all down, start from scratch, then sure. But I don't necessarily think you have to do that. I think the bones of this team are pretty good. You just need a quarterback and a competent coaching staff. And once you have those, you need good players around them. If you have the good players around already, you might as well keep them around.
I could see McCaffrey getting moved on from. Only because... Oh, go ahead.
I think if you do that, it has to be... You have to, like, get someone to overpay for him, right? Like, I think someone said the Bills... I think I saw the Bills are, like...
The Bills are testing the waters. Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta get, like, a lot from the Bills. Because you can leverage... You have all the leverage. The Bills have no good running backs, and this is like their time to shine. Like, this is their Super Bowl window, so to speak. Like, they aren't looking at future assets. They don't hold future assets with any sort of value. So you got to make them really overpay for McCaffrey to make it worth your while. Because you also got to remember, like, with how I don't know, jaded the fan base has become, that if you get rid of everybody's favorite player on the team, it's, you really got to make it count.
Yeah, and you gotta put asses in seats at some point too.
Right.
Which, if McCaffrey is currently the best player on their offense by a wide margin, and if you mail it in for two or three seasons again for a rebuild, you're losing Jeremy Chinn, probably J.C. Horn, definitely Frankie Louvu, probably Brian Burns, McCaffrey. You might hold on to DJ Moore, but I feel like he's going to be pissed off, you know, 3 seasons into it. So it's a weird place to be in, because they actually have a lot of talent. Like, this isn't the 2021 Jacksonville Jaguars, where they have like Trevor Lawrence and then like nothing. They have talent. They have talent. They could very easily have like a Saints level draft next year and turn around and be a playoff contender. Quarterback's going to be the big thing, and I think that's kind of where I'm at with the McCaffrey trade. It's like, if you're going to trade McCaffrey away, you better come up with enough draft assets where you can trade up to number one overall pick in the event that this team fucks around and wins like 4 games left in the season. Because they could. Like, every game aside from the Niners game was competitive.
Yeah.
So it's just...
Yeah,
it's a real tightrope to navigate.
we're on a collision course with every Panthers, or not every, but 75% of Panthers seasons of, we're good. We're like, boy, is this team bad. At least we'll get to draft a difference maker. Oh no, we've won 4 games in a row to end the season.
Yeah.
Now what do we do?
All it takes is for P.J. Walker or Sam Darnold or even Baker Mayfield to get hot for a few games, and suddenly they're sitting at 5 wins, and we're like, well, what the fuck?
Yeah, and if you want to take that as the I don't know, consolation prize for, like, from here through the end of the season, I don't see any games in the schedule that I'm like, oh, we could win that one. There's just, like, the Broncos and Steelers at home, and I guess Saints. The Falcons at home. Yeah, but at the Saints, I mean, Saints depends are significantly better than the Panthers.
Well, it depends on what quarterback survives the season.
Yeah, but still. But yeah, that's kind of what... So I guess there's consolation in that. There is some solace in that fact, but I don't know.
I don't know if I'd call it solace. It's just, you know,
near-term
returns.
It's definitely too early to think about that right now. Like, that's something that you start thinking about in, like, December. And also, I mean, I'm not going to tell anybody how to be a fan of a team, but it's really hard to root for your team to lose. Like, I don't know. For me, it's always been a tough, like, balancing act on Sundays where it's like, long term, it's good for this team, for this game to lose, but I still kind of, like, want to enjoy watching the games. So.
Oh, my thought process on it is very simple. I'd like the near term returns because you could always end up with another Matt Rhule who tanks the franchise for 3 years. I just like to feel good.
Yeah. And I always think, like, I've kind of, I don't know. I think in general, I'm like a fan of the idea of like wanting to try to get better all the time as opposed to like it's very in vogue to like tank for assets and then we'll be good later. But I feel like that's almost like how would I say this? Like, it's a way to like buy yourself time in like the job as like a general manager or coach. It's just like, if you're bad on purpose and we make it expected that we're bad, I can't be fired if we're bad. Like, I have, you know, there's nothing you can hold against me because I've completely removed expectations. So, but I don't think there's any way the Panthers are good enough for them to not be in the conversation for drafting a top quarterback prospect, which this is a good draft for quarterbacks. So we'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
Can I bring up a quick aside real quick?
Yeah.
So you remember that podcaster who brought up all these like random allegations of what was going on with the Panthers coaching staff and disconnects? Yeah. So he decided to go on Twitter and just like quote tweet a guy who tweeted at him over 2 weeks ago with a clown gif, obviously. And
professional.
Basically said, the guy basically said, you know, you've just been hating on this team the entire time you've been around. And my response to the guy's clown gift tweet was, how is Rhule getting fired confirming anything you posted? You want to know what response I've gotten?
Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing.
No, you won't. You won't.
Yep.
Nah, it's just a, like, this justifies what I said. So, like, that means I was right. But
yeah,
just because like it's like a blind squirrel finds a nut, right? Like, so
pretty
like,
much like I that's the one thing that has really annoyed me about the Matt Rhule tenure, even though I'm like at this point I'm pretty much happy he's just fired and gone just so we can move on. But there's just always this like real like bias towards him.
Yeah,
to the point where I don't feel like he could have succeeded unless he like made the playoffs this year, which would have been a tall task since Baker Mayfield has played like shit. I just feel I'm just very tired of like the very negative outlook by all Panthers fans. And granted, they may be justified because obviously a bunch of coaches got fired today. So, but I've just always tried to be like positive and be like, I understand certain moves they've made. I've understood certain decisions they've made, whether it's been good or bad at the end of it, like Sam Darnold, for example. And it just really, like, grinds my gears to have to deal with fans who are just constantly fucking negative. Like, don't be a fan if you're just going to be fucking angry all the time. I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
No. Like, and that's kind of what I was saying before about, like, the vitriol and, like, the celebration of him getting fired. It's just kind of like he was a dead man walking and no one really wanted him to succeed anymore. And then I think I've said this in a previous episode where I don't know if it was about Matt Rhule specifically, but it was just kind of a thing that people do in general where like we've decided that we don't like Matt Rhule, so now going forward it is impossible for Matt Rhule to do anything right. Like, even if he does the right thing, it's wrong, you know, like and people don't like to, you know, dissociate the actions from the person taking the action. So no matter what he does, people are going to clown on him and like not give him any credit and everything. Every since Matt Rule is basically Matt Rule bad, every action Matt Rule does is bad. And that's, I don't think there's any really coming back from that or any patience left for anybody to like give him a real fair shot at improving this team from where it was. Not that it was going to anyway, apparently, but still.
I mean, to give Matt Rule props, I mean, he built a very good defense.
Yeah.
He did that. They tried. I mean, it sucks because like the Matt, like they were apparently like Matt Stafford was not coming here. I would have been really upset if they traded for Deshaun Watson, but just to objectively look at it, Deshaun Watson decided he didn't want to be a Panther. Like, you know, there's only so much you can do. Like,
yeah,
you got to get a quarterback, and they tried. They tried their damnedest. Like, it would have been back in, like, the Marty Herney days or, like, the John Fox days. They would have just stuck with a guy like Matt Moore or, like, Jimmy Clausen and been like, well, it's not working out. I guess, like, you know, it is what it is. So, I'll give him props for trying. It just didn't work out.
Yeah, and I do wonder if there's more red flags than we kind of know about based on how people don't want to come here or haven't wanted to come here, right? Because it's not like players don't go to team. It's just not like being a bad team precludes players from wanting to play there. You know what I mean? Like the Dolphins have been bad, and Tyreek Hill was like super pumped to go to the Dolphins this past offseason. Like, you know, winning and losing isn't the only thing that factors into the quality of a situation.
No, I mean, really, what I really want to see them do is just make this offer as attractive as possible for the next head coach. Like, whether it's we're going to spend our first round pick on a quarterback and you can tell us who it is, whether it's retaining guys like Brian Burns, obviously Jeremy Chinn and J.C. Horn are probably locked down at this point, but they have a good offensive line. I mean, really, you just need a decent play caller and a decent head coach, and this team could be very easily a 500 team next year, very easily. So
yeah, if the quarterback position becomes like not like playable,
passable,
or like yeah, passable, that's the word I'm looking for. Then yeah, this team's. I mean, the team this year is, I think, even with the less than stellar, like, you know, the coaching turmoil, I guess you could say, is like mediocre quarterback play away from being like too, like, you know, not completely out of the running for anything, like for being around a 500 team.
I mean, I know you didn't get a chance to really watch the game, but like the offensive line held up pretty well against the 49ers. I mean, Baker got sacked quite a few times, but part of that is, you know, Baker being Baker.
Right.
But they graded out quite well. And like I said earlier, Ike Mukwanu had his best game as a pro as far as PFF is concerned. But yeah, I mean, it's not like a situation where this isn't like the 2021 Jaguars or even like the 2020 Jaguars where like they have nothing. There's plenty of talent. You just got to keep the guys happy and
yeah,
hopefully retain guys like McCaffrey and DJ Moore. I think Robbie Anderson's fucked at this point. I think he's gone next season, but
yeah, I thought it was strange that we signed him an extension anyway.
Yeah, it really was. Like, he hadn't really proven anything after his first season was really good. I'll give him that. 1,000 yards by a guy like him in an offense led by Teddy Bridgewater is good. But then last season was probably his worst as a pro, and this season he's better, but not nearly to that level again. So
yeah,
it's just very interesting.
The last thing we'll talk about,
Baker, there were 6 sacks against the Panthers, so it wasn't like the offensive line was perfect, but I thought that they were, at least when the game was competitive, that they looked pretty good.
What one last thing I want to talk about on this is I feel like people are going at David Tepper. And I feel like especially people are going at him for him being agitated in the press conference he did today, which I guess, like, what are your – did you get to watch all of it?
I watched some of it, but I was at work, so I didn't get to watch most of it.
For one, I like respect David Tepper actually like doing a press conference and like taking questions because he didn't have to do that. But I don't know, like the little snippet I just saw, it was like he was going at I blank on his name, Scott Fowler.
Yeah,
but like Scott Fowler asked a dumb question, so like of course he was gonna be agitated. So I don't know. I David Tepper has his faults as an owner, but like I don't know. I think it's just I feel like everybody just lumps everything into one situation, right? Like if the failing of Matt Rhule or whatever, it just like means that David Tepper is a failure and Scott Fitter is a failure and the quarterbacks are failure. Like everything is bad. It's like there's good in here somewhere. And like I think there's some like he deserves some of the blame, but also like I guess he gets credit for having the press conference to begin with, just in terms of a like professionalism standpoint. And then also I feel like people just like want him to sit up there and just like take a lashing and just like apologize for everything or something. I don't like, what do people want, I guess is my question.
Tepper is well intentioned. My kind of issue with him is just that he just makes a lot of weird decisions as an owner. Like going to Turf was kind of, that was very much a like capitalistic move to make more money rather than, you know, make the Panthers a good team because people keep getting hurt now.
As is the case when you go to Turf. Yeah.
But at the same time, we're stuck with Tepper. It's not like he's going to get fired anytime soon. You can't fire him.
Right.
Like unless there's some stupid scandal that comes out, like he's going to be around. So I like his thought process. I like the way he goes about trying to be successful. I think he just kind of fucked up with Matt Rhule and there's really not much you can do about it aside from just fire him, be like, yeah, I'm still going to pay him all this money, but we're going to move on from him. Like I think it would have been a major mark against him if he just kept Matt Rhule around all season and was like, well, we're going to go into year four and see what he can do. Like at least he cut ties while, you know,
I mean, that's also one of the things that everybody's always wanted an owner to do, right? Is be willing to spend money for the good of the team and like, you know, and pay money out of their own pocket.
And he does. I mean, like with a lot of their extensions, I mean, like they went from being the Jerry Richardson team where they'd get into cap hell and there really wasn't a whole lot they could do about it aside from just sit on it, where Tepper's just like, hey, I'll just pay this guy a giant signing bonus and make the cap go away. Like I'm not really even worried about the $30 million over the cap they are next season, just because I know worst case scenario, David Tepper's going to go like, all right, well, I'm going to pay this guy a giant signing bonus and this guy a giant signing bonus and this guy a giant signing bonus. And then we'll cut guys like Shaq Thompson if we have to, you know? So it's not all bad. Could be much worse. I mean, we could be dealing with the fallout of Urban Meyer and the shit team he put together, where at least Carolina has some talent that they've drafted. I'm really not sure what's going to happen with Brian Burns, though. That's the one where I'm kind of not entirely.
Why?
I don't know. I kind of just feel like they won't look at him as like, he's a pass rusher. That's really all he is at this point. Aside from like the splash plays here and there where he blows by an offensive lineman, I'm just not sure if they'll actually re-sign him after this season.
I don't see why they wouldn't.
No, they absolutely should. I'm not saying that they shouldn't. If it was my decision, I'd be like, yeah, pay him whatever the fuck he wants. He's a good defensive lineman. But I just don't know. Like the whole situation is very much up in the air to me at this point.
I just don't see I know they should and we want them to. I just also don't see why they would not. Like there's nothing prohibitive about it. It's not like the cap space is needed. And he's 24. Like he's very young for a player coming off his rookie contract. He's like, cause he was 20 when we drafted him. So I see no reason why I see no incentive to let him walk. So I wouldn't worry about that.
Yeah, I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Do we want to move on to the Rams game, or is there anything else you want to discuss?
I think we could talk about the Rams real quick. I feel like similar to the, I don't know, brief 49ers recap, I don't think this is a topic that a lot of people are super antsy to hear about, but no. I mean, we do on the show, so we'll look ahead to it. I guess I'll start by saying the Rams look like a slightly better version. The Rams are like a souped up version of the Panthers, right? Like they're the same like dysfunctional mess on offense, but they have a defense that's kind of holding its own well enough to keep them in things, but they're just like a little bit better at the stuff. Both sides.
Yeah. Cooper Kupp's still good. The Panthers' leading wide receiver this season is Robbie Anderson with 13 receptions for 206 yards. Do you want to know how many receptions and yards that Cooper Kupp has?
I know Cooper Kupp has like 42 catches.
49 receptions for 527 yards in the same amount of games.
Yeah, Cooper Kupp, like our leading receiver, is basically like a game and a half for Cooper Kupp.
Yeah. Cooper Kupp is basically Steve Smith at this point.
I mean, yeah. This is a
without the
crown.
Chip on
first,
his shoulder, but yeah.
Maybe he has a chip on his shoulder. He's just not as vocal about it. But first Triple Crown winner since Steve Smith.
Yep. It's good company. And J.C. Horn, I don't know if he's going to play this week, so that could be a huge problem.
Yeah, I mean, if J.C. Horn doesn't play, which, by the way, I guess to circle back to something for the 49ers game, like, good, like, kudos to you about the whole J.C. Horn, Deebo Samuel matchup thing and for at least the first half that I got to watch, Deebo Samuel had like one touch.
Yep.
So, good job.
J.C. Horn was all fucking over him. That's why he was my guy when the Panthers drafted him in 2021, because he's just fucking good.
Yeah. If he plays and he's healthy, probably want to just continue to do that all the time, right? For the other team's best wide receiver.
Yeah, that's what I would think. I mean, he's just a shutdown corner. And by the way, Deebo Samuel had two receptions for 20 yards. Granted, one of them was a touchdown. And two rushes for 12 yards. So that's pretty good considering Deebo Samuel is one of the premier weapons in the NFL right now. But yeah, I mean, J.C. Horn's going to be hard to retain in a few years because he's clearly already at the level of being an elite NFL corner. That might be a hot take, but I think that's true.
Yeah, I think he's definitely trending that way very rapidly. It is year two of 5 years under team control, so I wouldn't worry about that too much right now. But we'll worry about that in 2026, about how hard he is to retain. But I think the thing, and this is where Brian Burns can to bring him back into this equation. The Rams, much like the Panthers last year, have, like, no offensive line.
No, they don't.
And then Matthew Stafford's, like, maybe kind of bothered by an elbow injury and can't throw. And, you know, he's already getting beat up and is getting older. And so I'm amazed that Cooper Kupp is able to produce the way he is because the rest of that offense, like, is in shambles.
Yeah, Stafford got sacked 5 times against the Cowboys.
Yeah, which is partly the Cowboys and just Michael Parsons just being unreal. But I mean, Brian Burns is having himself his best season so far. So this is a good chance to take advantage and get a, especially against someone like Matthew Stafford, who's not mobile, which I think is like where Brian Burns is best because of the way he kind of takes his angles and stuff. He's good at getting to that spot at the back, but sometimes he can get kind of run out of the plays or get run away from by guys that can run. So I think it's a good chance for him to tee off and fluff his numbers up a little bit.
Yeah, I also think that this is a game the Panthers somehow win for whatever reason. Like, just coming off of the firing of Matt Rhule, the reorganization for Steve Wilks, I think that maybe Steve Wilks will have him a little more prepared, because that's been the consistent thing with the Panthers this season, is that they just, whether it's usually the offense, but they just don't look prepared at all when they start the game.
Right.
So
I mean, defensively, yeah, because we don't give up opening drive touchdowns, but otherwise, yeah, it just, like, the first quarters of games have been a total mess this year. I don't think this is me being just talking out of nowhere, but I can't remember us having anything encouraging at the beginning of any game. It feels like we just, like, come out and punt away within the first, like, three like real life minutes of every game. We've, like, already punted the ball away.
Yeah, I mean, aside from those random big plays they have, which are very random. Yeah, yeah. It's been pretty much the same story. But this is a team where the Panthers are built to actually play them well. I mean, their defense is basically built to play against the pass-heavy offense, and the Rams are a pass-heavy offense. So I could totally see them winning this game, and everyone being like, well, why the fuck did they fire Matt Rhule? And it's like, well, this is why, because they're good. They're decent. They're not a number one overall pick type roster. So
yeah, I also think the thing is, though, like, the Rams are coming off a couple tough defenses, and we'll see if they they've had a tough schedule so far. The Rams have, like, their losses are to the Bills, the 49ers, and the Cowboys, and then they did they dominated the Falcons for most of that week too, and then they kind of went Falcons on the Falcons. And then they had a kind of, like, run-of-the-mill, pretty, like, stayed in control of the game most of the time, win over the Cardinals. So I feel like if you're a Rams fan, you're in the Rams organization, like, you're looking at Sunday as a get-right game. So, I don't know. This is kind of funny. So it's in Carolina, right? Panthers are the home team. What do you think the spread is right now?
9 points.
It's Rams minus 11.
Jesus Christ.
It's wow. A 2-3 team against a 1-4. The Rams are one game ahead of the Panthers in the standings, and they're 11-point favorites on the road. So, and apparently a lot of the money's on the Rams. So that, now I would say I've been really bad at, like, making our picks for the tally site thing. But if it's me, I'm thinking that's a lot of points. Like, that's a pretty good chance to, like, go, like, bet on the Panthers, like, on the, against the spread. Because 11 points is a lot of points for a Rams team that's not scoring a lot of points. Like, you know, the Panthers don't have to, like, I don't, like, the over-under is 41, which means the Rams have to win, what, like, I can't do the math right now, but, like, 26-15, which, like, that's a lot of points for the Rams to score this year.
All the Panthers need is a good game plan against Cooper Kupp, where they hold him to, like, less than 100 yards receiving, and this is a close game.
Yeah. That's like we said, that's, like, their entire offense right now is Cooper Kupp. Yeah. And regardless of what the Panthers do, Matt Stafford will do his hardest to make sure that stays the offensive game plan, because the target share is pretty absurd for Cooper Kupp.
It is.
It was. I'm gonna pull it up right now, but the last I saw, it was like something to the point where you feel like it might be, like, negatively impacting. You would think it's, like, a negative impact on the rest of the team. So especially from wide receivers. So Cooper Kupp leads the team with 64 targets. Next is Tyler Higbee, the tight end, with 48. Second on the team in wide receiver targets is Ben Skowronek with 24.
Wow.
So Cooper Kupp has almost three times as many targets as the next wide receiver on the team.
Again, hoping J.C. Horn is healthy and just put him in his face the entire game and see what the fuck happens. It worked last week. I mean, yeah. It didn't work because they lost, but yeah.
But it worked. It accomplished that particular phase of the goals, like right. That goal. That individual goal was a success. Like, if you're like, these are our keys to victory, like, you got a check mark in that box. The rest of them didn't get check marks, but at least, you know, the 49ers are also much more in their current iteration, diverse in their attack and their and strengths on offense.
Than yeah, the they run the ball right with now. Six goddamn players a game. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, defensively, I think the Panthers can hold their own, but that's been the story of most of the season. But the problem again is going to come down to like what is going to happen on offense. Like, I know that the offensive line has been fine, and so the Rams defensive line doesn't look as ferocious, but like they're really good against the run. And Aaron Donald, and like PJ Walker. As fun as he is, and I feel like he kind of looks better than he is because of how like pretty of a ball he throws and how much he attacks down the field. But like he has never been an effective quarterback, so no. I feel like I don't know what the offense if the offense like scores. Does the offense score? Is my question.
It will. It'll be at least a run or throw to Christian McCaffrey for at least seven. Probably like two field goals as well. So it just depends on what the defense does.
It's funny too, because like it almost feels like the on net, the defense is scoring more points than the offense for the Panthers, which makes no sense in the sense that like if the defense generally is allowing points to be scored and the offense is the one scoring points. That like, you know, by nature, the offense is going to be like plus whatever for the season and the defense will be minus whatever. But the defense has scored two touchdowns in the last 3 weeks and the offense has given up a touchdown and barely scored their touchdowns of their own. So that kind of score line is way too close. Like the defense is almost beating the offense in terms of points given versus points or points scored versus points allowed.
Yeah, really going to depend on if Frankie Louvu plays, because he's the scorer for the defense, whether it's forcing a fumble or taking it himself.
He's been involved. But, and Matthew Stafford's prone to pick sixes, so I guess the defense has that chance to help out.
They have no chance. It's fine, though.
The Panthers as a team?
Yeah.
Oh, you said they might win. I agree with you, though. The only thing they
I
have
want to
for
believe
them,
it, but yeah.
But you would.
I could see it. I just don't yet. Like, I'd have to see it on the field first.
Yeah. So,
like, I wouldn't be surprised, but I would be.
I'm not counting on it.
Yeah, I'm not counting on it at all. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would like to. I wish I had more, like, things prepared, but we're doing this way earlier in the week than normal because of the news today. But. But yeah, it's like, I guess there's like a chance they get the new coach bump or like, you know, the head coach gets fired bump that seems to happen a lot. And then that in conjunction with the Rams being maybe a little unfocused and not that great this year, they can maybe surprise them if they get some big plays from the defense. Cause you know, Matthew Stafford has his random weeks where he turns the ball over. Like very either a lot or in very like very very disadvantageous situations, but I think the more likely scenario is just the simple scenario in that the Rams are a much better team than the Panthers, and the Panthers are falling apart at the seams, and the Rams are going to come in here and dominate the game, and we'll have another sad Sunday.
Yep, Jalen Ramsey on DJ Moore is not going to help DJ Moore being frustrated. So,
yeah. We said the same thing last week going into the 49ers game. I would like to be able to do this show and be positive and upbeat, but I mean, there's not, I don't know how to spin things positively that don't come across as like obvious attempts to pander to people. So
right,
we're not gonna do it.
Yep. Well, we want to get on to scoring predictions then, John.
Yeah, fine with me.
All right, I'll give you and the random number generator a chance, and I'm gonna say 21-17 Panthers.
I'm gonna say. I like how much faith you have in the Panthers that you're like throwing the game. You feel like you're throwing the game by picking the Panthers to win. I'm gonna say Rams 27, Panthers 12.
All right.
And the random number generator says Panthers 23, Rams 8. Random number generator is losing its mind.
Yeah, it really is. So we'll go with the real quick breakdown here. So RNG is 2-4. No, 2-3. Sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say they've only played 5 games.
Yeah. So I am 2-3. No, 3-3. Or 3-2, I should say, because 49ers, Cardinals, Giants. And John is
1-3.
Yeah. 1-4?
Nope, 2-3.
2-3.
I picked them to beat the Saints, and I picked them to lose to the 49ers.
So it's a real close race. It's only a one-game spread right now. So we'll see what happens, but I'll err on the RNG side and say maybe the Panthers actually win this game just because I don't care. So,
but to wrap up the show, I wanted to share something from our old pal Ron Rivera because it's very funny. He had a press conference today and someone asked him, why is your team further behind the other teams in the NFC East? And he said, quarterback. And wow. As a person who's always been a Carson Wentz opposer, I thought that was very funny.
I mean, he's not wrong, but at the same time, like, you know, you guys went and got this guy, so.
Yeah, it's similar to the Baker Mayfield situation. It's like, well, maybe he'll be better for us. And then turns out he's just bad.
Yeah.
And his MVP caliber season was all mirage.
It was just a lot of a good Eagles team being around him and him being an athletic freak. And
yeah,
it all came crumbling down.
I think part of the reason I root against Carson Wentz, other than I think he's just not a great person, is that I was like really early on the Carson Wentz is actually bad take, even when he was like everybody's MVP favorite. And it's like, no, he's not good. He's just throwing a lot of touchdowns because his team is so good and they're calling pass plays around the end zone. He's not good if you like watch him play. And then now that whenever he's been in a not ideal situation, he's been like horrendous. And I just feel so validated in my take that no one knows that I had because no one cares about what I thought in 2017.
I just enjoy the fact that he has two fan bases that vehemently hate him. And he's probably about to have three after this season.
Right. Yeah, like, I think
Eagles fans despise him. Colts fans now despise him. And I think Washington is coming around as well to just despising him. So he's going to be probably one of very few first round, like top three quarterbacks where every team he's played for hates him.
Right. Yeah, not even like, we gave it a shot. It didn't work out. Like I don't think, I don't know. Panthers fans can be spiteful. I was going to say, like, I don't know, people are going to like vehemently hate Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield, but maybe they will just because they're bad. We'll see.
Sam Darnold's going to come back and he's just going to show us all why we shouldn't have traded for Baker Mayfield, because that's my chaotic take. So
we'll see.
But anyway, we got anything else we want to share before this Sunday's game?
No, that does it for me.
All right, well, from all of us here at the Keep Sounding Podcast, Matt Rhule is fired, so we can move on. We can hope for greener pastures. Stay tuned, stay safe, stay healthy, and we will talk to you soon.